Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Seeking the truth and love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our study of Galatians chapter 5, we were taught that it is not standards that drive people away from fundamental churches, but a lack of a personal walk with God. Let's continue with that thought today. I've seen people that when the churches first started to rock and roll, they shook their heads and how terrible it is. Now they're doing it themselves. I've seen preachers that said, this is terrible. Now they've let their standards go. Now they're turning to technology and everything else that will help them stay cool in the world's eyes and yet not turn to the Holy Spirit of God, because many times their technology tells them you can't say these words, you can't use these words. And you've got to eliminate this and that, and oh, you've got to keep it such that if you make your church look like a church, if you use words like faith, like fundamental independent Baptist, oh, you're going to scare people. Now, I tell you what, if that was the truth, then that would be the best Halloween home, wouldn't it? I mean, you put all those signs, faith, grace, Jesus Christ, Baptist, fundamental, independent, in your yard. Boy, you'd scare more people than anybody if they were right. Look, not one child will have a nightmare if they saw those signs in your yard, but I can guarantee you there'd be some of those contemporary emerging church people, and these people who are false would go into convulsions about it. And they would not have the peace of God, because they can't accept that which is holy and righteous in their lives. Now, so he says, we crucify the flesh with its affections and its lust. Lust looks at desire, the wants, the likes, and the desires of the old nature. That's why so many turn back to the world. That's why the young people lead the churches. It's not because the church did this. It's not because they're preaching too hard. You know why it is? Because in their own heart, they have not walked with God and made a decision to serve Him. They don't begin to serve God because their church is right. Getting right has to start in your own heart. You need to understand that. People say, well, our fundamental independent Baptists have to change because a lot of people are leaving. Look, I've looked at the Southern Baptists, I've looked at the Methodists, I've looked at the Catholics, I've looked at the Presbyterians, and all across the board, they're all saying they're leaving. Matter of fact, the ones I see that are growing seem to be people as the Mormons, the other religions such as Muslims and all that, because they have some standards. But people leave simply because they don't have a personal experience and a personal walk with God. It's not standards that chase them away. It's the lust of the flesh that they follow out the door. And that is what's causing such a great problem in the day in which we live. So we're to crucify these things. And it's interesting that the image of crucifixion, have you ever listened as descriptions are given of what took place in the beatings and then the crucifixion itself? Oh, it's horrible. Well, that's what should be done to these things in our spirit. And it should show you that Christ also bore these things on the cross for us. Notice he said lust, plural, and affections, plural. You see, sin is rarely, if ever, singular. It's always plural. One always seems to lead to another. And so we must understand that we might grow in his grace and knowledge. We must remember that although we received a new nature at salvation, we still retain that old nature. And that old nature operates on the basis of what it feels, what it likes, and what it wants. It would like to have that which appeals to its eye gate or to its pride. We'll see when we get to chapter 6 and verse 14 that there it says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." That's the way it should be, my friend. We live in this country. Have you ever sat down and maybe got on some kind of the old television programs? There are places now that have some of these old programs, and you watch a moral being taught. Oh, they had the Westerns, and oh, they'd shoot, but you didn't see blood coming out, and you didn't see even sexual innuendo. There was no cussing. It's funny. I've watched young people, and I say young people in their 20s, watch some of those old programs and just laugh and say, "Wow, that was good. When did they make that?" And you tell them when they made it, and they can't believe. You mean, wow, it was that good. And that was clean. And it really was. It didn't promote homosexuality. It didn't promote all kind of filth. It didn't promote adultery. It didn't promote drugs. It didn't promote alcohol. And so as you seen those things back in that day, they did become things that were time consumers. But then in a period of time, other things came in to take people away, to take people away, to take people away. And all the filth that you see today, I look back and I can remember in the 60s, a young man about 19 years old, and this is when I was in high school, I knew the man, but he wasn't in my school, he'd already graduated, but some lady cut him off in traffic and he started cussing at her out the window. He got arrested because there was a policeman that heard it. How often do you hear that going on today? I remember a young lady getting sent home because her dress length was about a half inch above her knee. Guys were told that they combed their hair, it had to be a certain length, they had to wear a belt, they had to wear a collared shirt, and shoes and socks, and there was a dress standard. But you know what? For some reason or another, teachers weren't getting beat up. Drugs weren't everywhere over the school building. Shootings weren't going on in schools. Oh, they'd have a fight, and the group would get on one side, another group on another side, watch the fight, and then when the fight was over, the fight was over. What's happened today? What's happened today? Christians have not crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust, and have been overcome. And have been overcome mightily. You know that we look back, we see Adam and Eve. Eve found out that even without an old nature at that time. She didn't have an old nature. But she was still susceptible to the enticements that would come through the eye gate. And in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 6, we read, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye and a tree to be desired and to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And she gave also to her husband and with her, and he did eat." And so there was no sin nature at the time, but enticement. Enticement was there. And by that enticement, man fell, and a sin nature entered. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, we see these things which represent the works of the flesh. "Love not this world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You can say you love God all you want to, but he says, "Oh no, the love of the Father is not in you." When you put the worldly system, the worldly things, no, it's not there. And he goes on, "For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world." Do you realize that Jesus found that the devil went after him on this very level? I mean, you think about it. Jesus was in the wilderness. And the devil says, "If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Eve needed food as well. She looked at the food. Although there's food all around her, he made this look good. And Satan appealed to the lust of the flesh for Eve as well as for Jesus. Then the devil takes Jesus on to the temple, pinnacle of the temple, and says, "Jump off, for it is written that an angels would not allow you to even stub your toe, so to speak. Prove yourself." But Jesus told him, "No, don't you tempt the Lord your God." With Eve, she saw it was good to look upon that fruit. And so the lust of the eyes come in, just like, well, Jesus, if you jump off the temple and not a thing happens to you, just think how that exalt you in front of everybody.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
Foundation for the Bible says,